when she travels with him, you can't help but to be agog at the people that he surrounds himself with.
Agog?
Agog. Well, hey, if it works, I got
it. I heard agog earlier this week for the first time in my life.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, Ted.
Hey, Clarissa.
Hey, Anne.
Hey, Jim.
All right, so here we are at Solvang Brewery in Lompoc.
Cheers.
Yeah, woo-hoo! Cheers.
All right.
Our first Live As It Happens remote recording.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
And we have alcohol.
With the studio audience.
Exactly.
With the studio audience, yes. We do have people watching and enjoying. So what is on the agenda for tonight?
So today we're going to do a couple movies. We're going to do Uncle Drew. But we're going to start with Mary Shelley.
Mary Shelley.
Yes.
Oh, I thought we were doing...
Secession. We'll talk about Secession a little bit, but I don't think...
What, you mean the modern day Dallas?
I don't think Jimmy and Chris were such big fans of that promo.
Or Dynasty? I'm not sure which, but it screams 80s...
What, is it Falcon Crest, maybe?
It screams 80s soap opera, right? I feel like I'm back in like middle school.
But it has millennial douchebags in it.
Oh, okay. That's true.
Okay.
And it has Brian Cox with his Irish accent.
Yes. Well, wait, that was
that
Irish.
That's Sean Connery.
That was not quite.
You mean Sean Connery.
Yes.
All right, so anyway, Mary Shelley. What do you say
We start with Mary Shelley. All right. So, I don't know. I saw this, and the first thing I thought was Dakota Fanning, but I guess it's Elle Fanning or Ellie Fanning.
The little sister.
The little sister. And she really stepped it up in this, so I appreciated the period piece. I thought it was neat.
What? Do you like the period piece?
I know. That's what I thought.
I like that it's a... female protagonist in a year of the gender swapping.
Yes.
This was Mary Shelley did it before it was cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And they kind of talk about that. What about you, Jimmy? What do you think?
I think it's cool because, so when I first met Clarissa, we wound up I wound up inheriting by marriage the book Frankenstein.
Pronounced Frankenstein.
By Mary Shelley, and I never read it. And then when we were in our apartment in grad school and everything, and I would sit and wake up at 7 in the morning, write all day. And then sometime midday, I'd get tired of writing, papers and stuff, and I would read this book, and Clarissa would be at work, and through grad school, I read Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Uh-huh. It took you that long?
Well, no.
You said through grad school. I'm just asking for clarification.
3 years of grad school.
For our listening audience.
No, I'm probably... It was probably like a couple pages a day, but trust me, I needed breaks from writing about Audrey.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you're trying to say is you don't read like Audrey, who reads 150 plus pages a day.
No.
Oh my goodness.
But anyway...
Depends on the book.
So... I found this book in the pile after, like I said, Clarissa and I got married, and read the story, and, thought it was cool that this woman wrote this book back in whatever, 18-something, whatever.
1816.
There you go, 1816.
Lake Geneva.
So, now that the story comes out about, how it came about to be written, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I was really surprised when Ted said, oh, we're doing Mary Shelley. And I was like, oh, you don't know the story? And he goes, what story? And I said, oh, they're Lake Geneva. They're at a party, and it's a bet. And he goes, what? What? Wait, don't tell me now. Save it for later.
See, I didn't know any of that either.
Yeah, no, I didn't either.
And I said, oh, it's Byron, Shelley, and Keats. But I erred because Keats was not there. Some other gentleman, I don't know how to say his name, Perrideau, and we all know how I love to say people's names correctly.
Exactly.
But that guy, I don't know how to say his name, and I didn't look it up.
But
yeah, we'll see what
that's fine.
But anyway, yes, they were all tasked with go write
a ghost story.
A ghost story.
Yes.
This is Derbez.
So, and what, no, what was the name? Derbez?
Derbez. No, that's
Eugenio.
Eugenio Derbez. Eugenio Derbez. Yes. Right. And yeah. So, brilliant name. I couldn't remember the first name, but I did remember Derbez. And it was up to Anne to correct us on Eugenio?
Eugenio.
Eugenio. There you go.
He should like send me a thank you
card. I know.
I'm advocating for correct pronunciation.
We'll see how this movie does.
Anyway, what I like is that Mary Shelley, even though she's a young lady with a checkered past herself.
is she really?
Yeah, they were committing adultery.
Would you like to have a roll in the hay?
Shelley's wife committed suicide, and that opened the door for them to get married.
No way!
You didn't know this?
No, I didn't know anything.
She drowned herself. Yes. And Mary and I believe Percy had two children at the time when Harriet committed suicide. Why do you not know these things?
Let's put it this way. Other than
it's a movie.
The townspeople storming the castle with pitchforks and torches. I know nothing about how this even came about.
All right, educate us.
No, wait. The only thing real.
No, don't educate us. We'll have to watch the movie.
They roll in the hay.
Roll in the hay. That's it.
I figured, you know, Mary Shelley, and he said Mr. Shelley. So
funny thing is, we watched the trailer, and the first second the trailer shows, and the one girl from Game of Thrones, whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, so.
Arya.
There you go, Arya.
Thank you.
What was Arya's name? I don't remember.
Arya who? I'm sorry.
She doesn't watch Game of Thrones either.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Dang it, we should have looked it up.
You mean Audrey? Audrey Arya?
Well, anyway. So, she says, oh, that's Shelley. And I hit pause.
She's right here.
I hit pause, and the first thing I said to Clarissa was, oh my God, she married him. That's not even her name.
That she didn't. It was, what's her name? Waltzcott?
Oh, really?
Something.
She just used it for the blood.
Well, I mean.
I think they eventually got married.
They eventually got married.
Okay, Anne, I need your help.
Dies.
Anne, I need your help.
Yes.
M-A-I-S-I-E. Maisie. Okay, Maisie Williams, that's who it is.
Yes, they get married after Harriet commits suicide, and they have four children, but only the last child lives.
Well, there you go. But that brings
so my wife is a Shelley scholar.
So through the and I'm glad because I have an art history question too that's in this trailer.
Okay.
But before we get to the art history question, what I want to know is, oh my goodness, I just lost my train of thought.
That's so, okay. Thank you.
Let me back up a second here. So there's a scene where she starts. It's like at a minute one for those watching. And
in the trailer,
what she said was, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but she said that she can't necessarily see life the way she used to see it, or something like that, right? And there's a picture of like what looks like a demon or something overlooking a dead woman.
Is it dead woman or?
Yeah, because she's like laying off the bed, like.
Yeah. Distracted. So, as our resident art historian, are you familiar with that image or with that photo or who the artist is?
None of the above, but I thought it was a reference to the two children that had passed away because, in chronology, I know that one kid gets dysentery, two kids get malaria, or vice versa. And I don't know if it's at the time that they're in Lake Geneva or if it's when they moved to Italy.
Okay.
But I thought she can't look at life the same way because they had these children that had passed away.
Well, that's the thing.
Okay, so which brings me to what, now I remember what I wanted to talk about. So she kind of gives the rundown of, well, when she delivers the book and the guy, the publisher maybe, said this couldn't possibly be you, and she gives the rundown of, you know, she had loss and betrayal and death and all these things, and she kind of gives that list that saying I can have that too. What do you guys think her loss is? The death of her babies, like you said?
I think
it's
so.
Gotta be the death of her definitely. Babies.
And Percy Shelley, from what I know art historically, was a frequent philanderer. So
Percy the husband,
not okay. Percy the only living child.
Okay.
So I think that's what she means by her constant betrayal and her loss. Because in the trailer, he says...
I was thinking loss and death were the babies, because, you know, loss and death can be one and the same sometimes.
He says something to her, but I didn't hear it clearly in the trailer, but she said... And again, I'm paraphrasing. She says something along the lines of, I'm not interested in anybody else. So,
okay.
I'm thinking it has to do with his philandering, because obviously they're carrying on this relationship.
That's the betrayal? Or
that's the betrayal.
The betrayal, okay.
Yeah.
And then the loss is, when he says it to her, it's she's now lost his affection because he's interested in stepping out with somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
That's interesting. I mean, I think it leaves a lot for the inference of what you know and what, you know, there's a lot going on in the trailer, so I was a little bit lost. I don't know about you, Jimmy, and I like, well, a lot of times you and I are like...
There's definitely a lot going on.
There's so much going on in a trailer that it leaves a lot to the imagination, so I think that's a good thing.
And we played the trailer, how many times, Clarissa?
3 or 4.
Yeah, at a minute, like... 4 at least.
Right.
And we paused it, went back. I mean, we, you know, okay, speaking of pausing and everything, would you say that those are dream sequences that she's...
I think some of it's a dream sequence. For sure, when she's laying in the bed, that's a dream sequence.
But when the sparks happen.
See, that one's hard because she's in that theater audience.
It's like an exposition of... like the first electricity, right? So I think there's some of it that is just the wonder of electricity at this time in history.
Well, that's true.
So I mean, it's like that sparks the imagination, so to speak.
Yeah. I gotcha.
And I think it's sort of the romantic era is coming to a close, like romanticism, and it's now in the industrial age.
That's
so I think that might have something to do with it too, like she's having these really vivid dreams. They're almost lifelike.
And would you say then, speaking of dream sequences and things, when that arm, the dead-looking arm, like
that
flickers?
That comes over twice. It comes over twice.
And it comes over twice. You're right. Yeah, yes. You're right about that.
I think that for her, her writing process must have been really vivid. Like, she can really visualize it as she's committing word to paper.
Oh, so you're not saying it's dreams. You're saying that's, like...
almost the book coming to life.
That's like almost her the visual metaphor of her writing.
Yes. That's how I look at it.
Oh, yeah. You're probably right. Yeah, that's cool.
Because, you know, from what I thought I knew about how it took place, I didn't think they just went to their room and wrote. From what I read, like, in high school and college, I thought that they had written it and then came back and read it to each other.
Oh.
And so, but maybe that's, what's it called? Urban legend? Like when you hear something?
Yeah,
that could have been urban legend that they came back and they told the story.
That's like half of history is urban legend.
Right. So she told it to them, and in her vivid description, sort of the way Walt Disney acted out all the parts of Snow White, that's how I envision that hand twitching.
Okay, yeah.
She's describing it so vividly to a room that they all share a vision of it.
So would you say that her life was, like, what's a good way to put it? Would you say that her life was that...
dramatic?
Dramatic? Or do you think this is a dramatic representation?
I think it's a little of both, because she was 16 years old when she met him.
Yeah.
And her half-sister helped them run away. Like, helped her get out of the familial home. Her mother had passed away, and her father sort of raised her, not liberal with a capital L, like in today's definition, but liberally, like, go out, live your life, follow my philosophies, do your thing. And so when she meets him at a dinner party, she's sort of smitten with him. And so her whole life
It's like Hamilton and Eliza and stuff.
Gotcha.
They're the European Schuyler sisters.
Angelica, Eliza, and Peggy,
the Schuyler sisters.
Eliza. And so when she travels with him, you can't help but to be agog at the people that he surrounds himself with.
Agog?
Agog. Well, it works. I got it.
I heard agog earlier this week for the first time in my life.
And you know, dropping agog. Why don't I have a quarter? That's definitely a quarter word.
Yeah, exactly. But haven't you ever noticed, okay, a little aside, haven't you ever noticed, like, when you hear a word for the first time, all of a sudden you pick it out of your head? What the heck? I've never heard this word before.
It's like when you buy a car. It's like when you buy a car. When you buy a car, you're like, oh, there's 100 of these cars on the streets. How can
yeah, there's a term for that. I can't remember what it is. Exactly. But
it's a bias. It's like a confirmation
bias.
Well,
you're sensitive. You're sensitized right. to it.
Exactly.
Dunning-Kruger effect is what I believe it is.
Dunning-Kruger effect.
I'll look it up.
I think it's the pocket brain. Check
I think
out.
It's the Dunning.
I mean, let's be honest. If Keats walked up to you and said, hey, I have this challenge for you, wouldn't you sit there mouth agape like, what?
Exactly.
You want me to do what?
I'm not saying agog's not a perfect word for it.
Never mind. Dunning-Kruger
a new one.
Is a cognitive bias where people of low ability have the illusory superiority, mistakenly assessing their cognitive ability as greater than others. Or greater than it is.
Right.
So, no, I was wrong. I don't have the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Hey, you should drink, but you know your beer's empty.
I flagged her down.
He waved her over.
Oh, thank you. Well, but there is a term for that, and I don't know what it is.
I think it's an expansion on confirmation bias, because confirmation bias is one of the most powerful biases in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It definitely is.
Absolutely.
It's definitely.
So, okay. You know, back to the Shelley thing, I think, to me, the best thing of the whole trailer is the variety quote, maybe there's a little quote in there. It says, suffered with a righteous feminist fire. So it's like...
Wait, say that again?
That was one of the things.
Suffered with a righteous feminist fire. So the whole feminist fire, perfect alliteration. Variety, reputable source.
Well, it goes back to like all the strong women movies that we've done.
Yeah, exactly.
Molly's Game and
right.
A Woman Walks Ahead, like last week.
And then to put suffered in there, it's like the channel suffrage, channels Mary Poppins, it's
or
everything.
Suffering too. Don't forget suffering, because that's what the whole thing is based off of.
Yes, Jim.
And you mentioned so. Again, she gives going back to that rundown that she gives of how she suffered and death and loss and betrayal and all that. Is some of the death, like you said, was it you that said, I think it was you that said her lover, whatever, committed suicide or something?
No. Mr. Shelley's first wife, Harriet, commits suicide.
Okay.
And Mary's...
Spoiler alert.
But it's not really. And Mary's own sister who helped her escape to run off with Percy, she commits suicide as well. She overdoses on laudanum.
Laudanum?
Yes, it's a romantic drug.
No, it's not.
What's the other term for it?
Ecstasy. Molly's a romantic drug.
Oh. MDMA, right?
Anyway,
okay. Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say back to this feminist thing.
See, now we have the.
When
I know
when the book is published in 1818 on New Year's Day, it doesn't have her name.
Oh, it didn't.
Whose name does it have?
I don't think it has a name.
A nom de plume.
Well, can I?
Anonymous.
But her later works say by the author of Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
See, they had legacy cells even in their turn of the century.
Look at that.
That's right.
Let me eat this, okay?
Go for it. Yeah.
It's crunchy, so eat it away from the mic.
I was trying earlier. I don't know if it worked.
Every
we'll
single person.
It's like,
so I do need to find out though how Anne has so much knowledge of Mary Shelley. Because
Anne had a nice base. Anne had a nice base of knowledge of Mary Shelley.
I gave that story. You missed it. When I said, you said, oh, this is the movie we're going to do. And I said, oh, yeah. Don't you know this, and this? And you were like,
I was here. I heard this story. I'm saying you had a beautiful base knowledge of Mary Shelley.
Right. I guess that's what I meant to say.
But she did do a little research, you know.
Where does the base of knowledge come from is what I'm asking.
art history and
art history and that European education.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then...
Dang it. You get more out of a European education.
Okay. This American education system, it's cheating all you people.
Dang it.
So here's a question now.
Man, I should have gone with you, Anne.
So when she comes in...
12? I know, right? Except I would definitely have been like a zero.
Ouch, Chris.
All right, maybe that I'll hurts. Be five. Okay, five.
We're not that old.
Five.
I would have been
that.
Zero.
No, that's Jim.
Yes, I married a young wife, but she's not that young.
Not right now.
Okay, so here's a question then.
Yes.
So she comes in to Shelley's room in the trailer and slams down the book. And she says, do you recognize Victor Frankenstein?
Frankenstein.
Who is she referring to?
I think it's him again.
That's what I thought too.
Okay.
It's him because he's off.
Like, in other words, do you recognize yourself in this story?
Yes, because, to put it bluntly, he's been out dipping his wick.
So wait, Mary Shelley hate wrote Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
She hate wrote.
Oh, nice. Hate wrote. I like that.
Nothing better than a hate writing book.
It's not drunk texting. It's hate writing.
Exactly.
So much passion.
Exactly. Passion, emotion in it because it's hate writing.
It's hate writing.
Hey, look, there's some
magic champagne. The champagne reanimated itself in your glass.
It's alive!
Like that arm on the table. But here's my problem with today's version of Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Wait, right? When you say today's version, what do you mean?
Yeah, I was saying I was going to say the same thing.
Jimmy and I are the same
thing.
Define today's version.
What do you mean?
I mean Mel Brooks?
Yeah, he's you not Victor, green with cogs.
Frankenstein.
And first of all, it's Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein was a doctor.
Frankenstein.
Exactly, yes. Victor. Yes.
Yeah, right. Do people not know that?
People don't know this.
When you go to a costume store, they say Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
And you think cogs on the neck and green with a square head?
But it's with the
no, they're
scar.
Thinking of Lon Chaney. Right? No, I mean think about it though. That's the Frankenstein people think of.
Frankenstein.
No.
Yes.
Sorry. My bad. Sorry.
Yes. So the original Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Do you guys know what a true golem is?
A true golem.
The Czech. The Czech built out of the mud.
Yes.
Jewish monster.
Ooh.
Jewish monster. It's an ancient Jewish monster from Eastern Europe.
Yes.
Huh. Oh, and God, thank God I passed Anne's test.
Wait, say that again? because surely everyone else got it but me.
No. So when you most people think of Gollum,
I definitely missed that.
When most people think of Gollum, they think Harry Potter and they think of the My Precious.
Yes.
My Precious.
Potter.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, one of those franchises.
Book to movie.
One of those franchises that Disney doesn't own.
Wait. We need to back up.
Yes.
I had a 1930s Hollywood movie faux pas.
Uh-huh.
Lon Chaney played Dracula.
Oh, no.
Boris Karloff.
Now you have a new beer, so you can drink.
Oh, I got to drink. Boris Karloff played Frankenstein.
Boris Karloff.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yes.
Right,
he is Universal's Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein.
Yes.
And he's the Frankenstein that is the...
Frankenstein.
The mask for Halloween.
Right.
The zombie Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Right. Frankenstein.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. All green and shit.
So the true golem is crafted, molded from mud. We know because when Ted was in film school, we lived in Prague and we took all these history classes that were a requirement. And Ted basically slept and I took the notes and I fed Ted the information.
Wow.
You know what's great though about that story?
Ted, I said it a month ago, and it was not like that at all.
No, you know what's great about though? Ted is like the guy who wants to make the movie based on like, here's how the camera angle, the camera, this is where the mic needs to be. Don't put that mic boom over there because that looks like a tree branch, right? So all this stuff. But like really what makes a good filmmaker is like the history of film. So what better way to bring your wife to school to have her learn what you need to learn so she can say, No, Ted, don't do it like that.
Do it this way.
So the point of all of that was the Frankenstein that Mary wrote about, or Frankenstein's monster that she wrote about.
Frankenstein
is more like the Gollum. It's crafted. It's made from parts. He's not green. He doesn't have plugs. He doesn't have a square head. And he's really longing for love, which really is what she's looking for. She's looking for love in return. It's a reflection of the hollowness
feels. Right.
She feels dead inside.
She feels dead inside because hers is out living his wick.
Right. No, and like, I get all that, you know, but what I don't understand is, who is Abby Normal?
Abby someone. Abby who? Abby Normal. Abby Normal. I'm almost sure that was the name.
In the story?
Not that young Frankenstein.
My name is Frankenstein.
All right, did we beat this one up enough?
Yes, we did it like a dead horse, and then we reanimated it, and then we beat it again.
Definitely reanimated.
Yeah.
It's alive.
But did the horse have bolts in his head?
And was he green? These are the questions
just
we have
stitches.
To ask.
All right, Ted. Three-word review.
So, because Ellie Fanning... Is it Ellie? L or Ellie?
L. I think it's L.
Elle Fanning. Because Elle Fanning is young, and I like young Frankenstein. So it's Young Frankenstein's Bride.
Young Frankenstein's Bride.
That's Young Frankenstein's Bride?
Yes, the three-word review for this.
All right.
Wait, but he's Doctor.
I know, but Young Frankenstein is the movie. The Mel Brooks.
And yes, I know what it is.
And then there was never a sequel, which is heartbreaking.
Apparently she doesn't agree with your three-word
Make up your own three-word review.
So wait a minute.
He's the review.
I'm going to be...
So wait a minute, are you talking about Frau Brücke?
Yes, we like to roll into hay.
Okay. Okay, on to the next one. Cheers.
Cheers. But before the next one, maybe a little break.
You know what? We need a break.
I need to dab my eyes from all the laughing. Not gonna lie. I need to dab my eyes.
All right.
Coming up on Trailer Junkies Podcast...
I'm saying it's amazing that Irving was allowed to do this, because I know a lot of contracts that athletes sign say you can't play another sport, you can't play pickup games, you can't play
in the off season. Yes.
So it's amazing that he was even allowed to do any of the stunts that you would need to do for this.
If you enjoy our trailer reviews, or even if you hate them, let us know. We love feedback. We're on Twitter at T Junkies Podcast and Instagram at Trailer Junkies Podcast. You can also comment on the episodes at trailerjunkiespodcast.com. Our email is info@trailerjunkiespodcast.com, and you could also leave us a review in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's get back to it.
All right, so the next movie we're going to do is...
You want to do Succession?
We'll do Succession really quick.
We'll tap into it for like 5 minutes.
But didn't we already kind of do it in the beginning?
All right, we did. We did. Had a little preview of Succession.
Can I give my three-word review before we start?
Do your three-word review.
Modern-day Dallas.
Modern-day Dallas. Okay, that's cool.
I thought they had a reboot of that anyway.
They did.
Okay, modern-day Dynasty.
Or put whatever one word movie in there, that kind of works.
TV show.
So that redhead girl is supposed to be Joan Collins. I'm not buying it. That's no Joan Collins. Redhead girl, whatever your name is, I'm sorry.
Redhead girl, whatever. Okay.
Oh God.
No, I like. So I'm like.
Wait. Is Brian Cox John Forsythe?
Because no, he's Rupert Murdoch. Everybody knows. This is trying to angle on Rupert Murdoch and Trump's relationship.
Sinclair Group.
Sinclair.
Media.
You know, News Corp. All of these things. We're not getting political. I know we don't get political here on Trailer Junkies Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we never do. If people don't know which way we lean by now.
But this is an uber supersized version of a Trump / Murdoch hybrid.
Oh, wait, you don't.
Yeah.
And I know, so here's my angle, my question for you guys. You guys watch a lot of HBO shows. You guys are into HBO stuff.
Junkies.
Sort of.
Whenever I watch HBO shows, you get a forced trailer every time you watch a program.
Yeah, you do.
So when you start to watch something, I watched Split the other day, and this was the trailer in front of Split. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. But then I watched something else. I forget. I was watching the beginning of something else. And I saw it again, and I was like, oh, that's not a great trailer, like, on repeat reviewing. And now HBO is forcing us to watch these trailers. Like, I didn't mind when it was Westworld, because Westworld was coming out, and they put that in front of everything, and you watched it 10 times.
Yeah.
And it's a great trailer.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Thandie Newton?
But exactly. HBO will force feed you this, Succession, and maybe turn people off.
It's definitely a snore.
It needs to be shorter.
Well, and the thing about it, though, is, yeah, it's long, and, you know, okay, so you have, like, rich, powerful white people.
Douchebags.
Douchebags. Arguing about, like, who's going to take over the family properties or...
I thought of it. I'm not going to work for you. Or,
yeah.
Right, because the two brothers and the sisters, and I didn't even bother to learn their names, which says a lot about me. Like, when the one brother is like, fuck you, and walks away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Right? And the sister goes to work for... the mortal enemy of the father?
The one thing is bringing back to being in long-term facilities, is whenever people are dying and might have a little bit of money, the family comes in and starts wanting to take it. So, you know, it's one of those things that should happen.
It's universal.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But it's universal no matter how little or how much.
Yeah,
and my first thought when I was watching this is like, don't we have enough of this in the White House?
Well, that's why it's a hybrid. It's a hybrid of Rupert Murdoch and Donald Trump.
So. Oh, it completely is. When they walk out to the black helicopters, I'm like, you lost me.
And then you have, like a line of black cars, really?
Well, the motorcade.
Exactly, right. The motorcade.
Well, my thought is how, you know, you have to be sympathetic to a character within a show. Who is your entry point?
That's my point.
I thought the girl just because she wants to go to the other side.
She's still an heir. She's still going to get the money.
Do you know what I thought when I saw her?
Unless he writes them out.
Yeah, because she went to work for the enemy.
No, because that's what I thought. Visually, it's the redheaded stepsister.
Bravo.
I love it. Okay, I'll take it.
Perfect.
All right.
And on that note, we're going to move on.
No, one last thing, because I tweeted about this, the thing that dragged me in, so my only entry point to this is Eric Bogosian.
Okay.
He's like the consigliere or somebody who's saying, do you want to do that? And it shows his eyes. And his eyes, to this day, I saw talk radio in the 80s, late 80s.
Love that show.
And I love the movie, yeah. And he was amazing in it, and I'll watch anything he's in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll watch a couple episodes, and when he's only in there for 2 minutes, then I'm out.
Just let us know which episode we're going to those.
All right.
Cool.
Do we need to go further, or do you have a...
I'm done with that.
We are complete.
Three-word review.
Oh, yes.
It's only one word.
It's only one word.
Hey, if you can summarize a review down to one word, you can never go over, you can always go under.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
In your preamble, I actually took it out. So I said, douchebag soap opera.
Douchebags.
Yeah. Yeah, much agreed. Much agreed.
I'll take
it. Okay.
That's awesome.
Can it be the redheaded, stepsisters forward?
No, stepsisters are hyphenated. So, Anne has a three-word review. I'm glad you broke your three-word review cherry.
Wait, what did you say? Redheaded stepsister? Redheaded stepsister? Okay, I like that. I like that. Yeah. All right.
Come on.
We need more booze.
More booze to come, but in the meantime, let's move over to Uncle Drew, comedy basketball movie.
Comedy basketball. So, I thought it was really interesting. So, I saw this movie.
It's interesting.
Yeah, no, I thought it interesting that this movie could be made.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Because, you know, the NBA has a lot of licensing rights, and I believe
to their players, you mean, or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, across the board. I guess this would only be made as an NBA movie because in the NBA, the players...
And WNBA.
So in the NBA parent franchise, they are a player-driven...
entity.
Sports entity. You know, when you talk about football and things like and other sports, they're owner driven.
Right.
That's
so
true.
So basketball is player driven. So basketball probably has the most leeway with its players, and it's like it's really about the players.
Yeah.
So I think it's neat that Kyrie Irving was able to do this while he's playing basketball.
I know.
And he picks up the phone and calls his buds and says, "Hey, dudes, I'm making this movie."
You just call all your retired friends.
And the coolest thing.
That was awesome.
You know what I took away from this whole trailer? Kyrie Irving is Australian. I had no idea. That's like, and the dude is like a baller.
Yeah.
You know?
And hilarious.
And Anne said when we watched the trailer the first time, she goes, "Is that Tiffany Haddish? She's in everything." Is in everything right now. Oh, and you know what? May, just to break this down, little PSA style. May is Foster Kid Month.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In May.
Oh, really?
May is also Bike to Work Month.
Okay. You do your PSA after I do mine. Tiffany Haddish was a foster kid.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
In Baltimore.
So she has, you know, lifted herself out of that.
Awesome.
Thank God for foster families.
So here's my first question. Would you or would you not want to sit in the chair to have a makeup artist make you look about 80?
He doesn't look 80. He doesn't, though.
No, but he's, Shaq Fu might.
He looks like 65.
Shaq Fu. I love that.
Let's be real
like
here.
Like a video game or whatever that guy is. Yeah.
Other than Kyrie's white hair, his skin looks like his present age. He doesn't look
that's
like
that's because black don't crack.
Oh, man. Claire, it's no banging.
That's why I only did one.
That's later tonight.
Black. Earlier today.
Whoa.
Black don't crack.
That's not true. Because if you see these crow's feet around my eyes.
You're Indian.
Yeah,
you got halfway there.
Oh, Indians are. Oh!
Wow.
I got a cool thing for you to watch later, but that's a whole
that
other
is
thing.
Horrible, guys.
No, but okay. So, you're
zen
missing.
Zen it out.
You're missing the question.
Okay.
Missing the question.
All right. Question.
Would you sit in a chair and have someone? Because, like, you guys are, like, what, like, 22? 23?
Yes,
you look
exactly.
Very good. Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of creams. Ask Ted. He gets the bill on his credit card monthly.
No, but would you sit in the chair and have a makeup artist, like,
give you a preview?
I don't know.
I thought this
Audrey
was...
in the chair all the time.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that, Ben Injured. Anyway. I'm easily distracted.
It's a preview. It's a preview. You get a little preview to what you're going to look
like. But would you want to know what you're going to look like at, like, 80?
Yeah, why not?
You would do it.
Obviously.
I got to say, my mom looks like my mom. So, first
of
all,
when
my mom goes 80...
Barbara's a beautiful human being.
First of all,
yes,
I love your parents.
I love my parents, too, but it's true. I look like my mom. So when my mom gets there, I just got to look
I'm saying,
so for all you single people out there...
I know! She's got great skin.
I was going to say, she doesn't... She's not crinkly and and craggly, she's like really great skin.
But I know what I'm gonna look like in
No, I think that. Everybody. So when I went over, when I was dating Ann, you know, I'd go over to the house.
And you'd be like, what was your main name?
Cio.
Cio?
Cio.
Well, that's how the
Mrs.
British...
Cio.
This is Miss...
Look this way into the light. Look
no,
that
I spent a lot of time. Hey. I spent a lot of time sitting and looking at my
7 a.m.
mother.
No, 7 a.m. Ding dong. Mrs. Cio, what do you look like now?
Oh, my God. So, on a total sidebar, non sequitur, when my sister and my brother-in-law had their daughter, she looked a lot like Ted. And people were like, oh, wait, why does the baby look a lot like Ted?
That's awesome.
And my brother-in-law was like, no, no. Did you guys notice that I'm light-skinned, too? I'm actually lighter than Ted. Most babies look Asian when they come out.
All right. We need to bring...
We went so far afield.
That's awesome.
So, okay. Anyway, the marketing for this movie.
The marketing. Okay, let me start with the marketing.
Okay, back to...
Trailer to the trailer.
Yes.
All right, I'm done.
You hate That's the trailer.
Trailer to the trailer. Why?
We gotta hate the trailer to the trailer.
You hate the trailer to the trailer.
Well, yeah. I want to know if the character Mookie is supposed to be like Mookie Blaylock. That's all I need to know. Is he supposed to be like Mookie Blaylock?
Yes. No, I think he's just playing on the fact that he's short and he's like the coach of the other team. To me, it harkens back to Dodgeball. You guys remember that movie?
Oh my God. So, okay, what I said was, okay, is this either old school, Dodgeball, or Barbershop?
All of the above.
Exactly.
Yes, I've seen none of those.
No, I'm not going to lie.
Go see Barbershop. It's incredible.
I have to admit, I only saw old school.
You're my boy, Blue. Oh.
Hey, look at you.
Fancy.
Hey, we have some friends joining us here.
Hi, Josh.
Hi. Meet you.
Hi. I'm Ann.
Josh and Nicole Miller. With their boys?
It's a pleasure.
Yes, Emmett and Owen started going with the boys.
And we're having...
Brought it in, huh?
We're having a live... You want to be part of our live recording? Right?
Oh, are we... You're live?
Please.
No, go for it.
No, come on. Join us. So the movie we're discussing right now is...
Uncle Drew.
Have you seen it?
Okay. Hold on. Come in here. We're going to ask you one question. You could go do what you want to do.
Go.
Would you sit in a makeup artist chair and have somebody like make you look like you're 80 at the age you are now, just see what you might look like?
Sure.
See?
I told you.
Jim, you're the only one vain enough to not want to know what you look like at 80, okay?
It's called curiosity.
I mean, so,
I guess curiosity killed the cat, but you know.
You know what, though? If I sat there, I would probably look like I do now.
Okay, here's the other question.
Would you like to see a movie
with a bunch of retired professional NBA players?
No.
There you go, Uncle Drew.
We're off for a beer.
I think that's what we're going to do.
All right. All right, we'll catch up with you guys.
I'm just, you know, the other thing is, my favorite part in the trailer was when Tiffany Haddish comes out on the court and she's the one calling timeout.
Yeah.
Like, and she goes, wait.
And they're like,
I want to make sure you're tall enough.
Who are you?
Go on the ride.
And my boyfriend's about to take you off.
So she's the one in the beginning who's like, watching you sleep is better than cable?
No. No, it's not.
No, it's not Tiffany Haddish.
No, it's not Tiffany Haddish.
We couldn't figure out.
It's not Tiffany Haddish. It's Mac's girlfriend. What's his girlfriend's name?
I don't know.
So wait, not Tiffany Haddish. Erica Ash.
I apologize. I've had a lot of champagne.
Erica Ash.
Just Maya.
Half a bottle.
Yes.
The other half.
Maya. It's Maya sitting in the chair watching Dax. And when Dax wakes up, he goes, you watch him sleep again? Not Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany Haddish is dating Mookie. Not Mookie Blaylock.
So, Nick Kroll.
So the reason I ask
Mookie
is...
Mookie Blaylock. Come on, that's a
Mookie
great...
Mookie Blaylock.
The reason I don't know Mookie.
The reason I ask is...
The original name for the Pearl Jam?
Her IMDb picture is way... Well, I should say way prettier. She's way more formal than she is in that scene. And I with her hair pulled back and stuff. Yeah. And I couldn't tell which one she was because her hair's over her face. She's squinting.
That's micro-racism.
It might be, but...
But the thing is, whatever. Even other...
I can tell you the whole story about the dress that Tiffany's wearing in this IMDb headshot.
Oh my god. That's okay.
The next podcast.
The
spinoff podcast. So the movie, so the marketing for this movie is amazing. They got so many NBA stars from our time, you know, Chris Webber to see him.
They did
19 movie posters for this movie.
Oh, really?
They have each one of these major characters as a bobblehead.
That's awesome.
And it's a single. It's amazing.
Oh my god.
Question I have about that though, with the marketing
and
stuff.
My collection. Yeah.
Could they not lock down Michael Jordan's likeness because in the trailer?
Oh, it's the backside.
The poster.
And
afar,
they show him doing the 360 slam.
Uh-huh.
From afar, you don't see his face.
Right.
And then he does the arm stretch thing. They never show his face.
But you know it's Michael Jordan.
But how much?
I'm sure. But do they want to spend $1 million?
I know. Right? That's what I'm thinking.
That was my point. How much does he want?
Yeah.
Well, you're already spending a lot of money on talent.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, what is it? 30 seconds max?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a smarter decision just to do somebody else, you know, doing their arm spread and, you know, and like do a lookalike. You know, you don't want to spend anything over $100,000 on
Well, and the thing about it too is
thanks, marketing guru.
quarter mil tops.
Well, and the thing about it is like it's one of those movies. You know, we've talked about them. Like, and I don't remember the movie we talked about, but they're not looking 10 years down the road. Oh, it was Equalizer.
Equalizer 2.
Yeah. They're not looking 10 years down the road. They're looking to release it today, gather as much revenue at the box office, and then they get what they get, and it's over. And then, like, maybe they get a slow trickle of a tail over time.
Yeah. But I like the idea that, you know, Jordan, to people of our generation, means Michael Jordan.
Right.
But Jordan to millennials means a shoe.
Yeah.
And a brand. It's like...
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Jordan has ascended beyond
And growing up
himself.
In Chicago...
Oh, my God.
When the Jordan... I mean, I would be at the Chicago Stadium...
Are you a Bulls fan?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Bulls Blackhawks.
How can I not be? I grew up in Chicago,
I'm
man.
I'm just asking.
And White Sox...
Yes, I will persecute you for even asking that question.
I mean... Because as Washingtonians, there was no Nationals when Ted and I were
Don't
young.
Don't tell me you're a Bullets / Wizards fan.
Yes,
of course
we're Wizards.
We are.
Oh, okay.
Of course we are.
But we're also Orioles fans.
We're Orioles fans because there were no Nationals.
Hey, Camden Yards is a great ballpark.
Oh, it is.
Boog's Pit Beef any day of the week. But I'm not a Baltimore Ravens fan.
No.
Because I'm a Washington.
You're a Chicago Bears fan.
I'm a Washington football.
Redskins.
I'm a Colts dodging out of the city in the middle of the night fan. That's what I'm at. But you know.
But yeah, you know.
And I'm LA.
I didn't know there were.
LAFC.
Woo!
I didn't know there were other fans other than Bulls fans. But now, growing up in Chicago, when. Yeah, I mean, going to the Chicago Stadium.
Uh-huh.
Before the United Center, watching, you know, Jordan go coast to coast.
Yeah.
To like
double nickel with 103 fever. Yeah.
To slam against the Milwaukee Bucks in overtime. I mean, it's like unbelievable. I mean, the guy is just incredible, and to not have his likeness. Man, I think they're losing it.
Really? So they lost Chicago.
What I'm saying. Oh, I get what you're saying. You're saying that
because they
the millennials don't give it. They don't care.
No.
Oh, so why spend the money then?
Why spend the money?
But you have so much other star power.
What? Yeah, exactly. What?
What is he going
to
bring?
Jordan is to us. Shaq and Webber is to the millennials.
Yes.
And
yes.
Shaq's an in-betweener.
That's what I'm
That's
saying.
That's true. That is very
now,
true.
Now, if you had Steph Curry in there, you'd have the millennials
off the
chain.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's amazing that Irving was allowed to do this because I know a lot of contracts athletes sign say you can't play another sport.
Yeah.
You can't play pickup games.
Yes, in the off season.
So it's amazing that he was even allowed to do any of the stunts that you would need to do for this.
I'll tell you, he has some good dribbling.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
I thought he was... I was thinking, like, when I first saw it, I was thinking, is this a... Is it... Just leave it. Is this a... A Harlem Globetrotters movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first thought.
But you know what I think it really showcases? That they still have it. Like, even though they're retired, they're still out there.
Yeah.
They probably have...
And?
Yes.
I grew up playing ice hockey since, like, a little guy, right? So, I wasn't on the ice for, like, 10 years at some point.
You still got it?
I'm like, I put on my skates and I'm just like, oh my god, I'm gonna go out there and fall flat on my face.
What's that movie?
Which one?
The Olympic team? That's Jimmy.
Miracle?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, right. I wish I was that good. No, but I lace up, I go out on the ice. You know, and my cousin, he played in college and all this stuff, and...
Frankie?
Chuck.
Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck played Lake Forest in at College of Lake Forest, or Lake Forest College in Lake Forest, Illinois. But anyway, I laced up my skates, and I'm just like, my God, I haven't been on the ice in 10 years. I'm going to fall flat on my face. I put on the skates, I got my gloves, I get the stick and everything, I go out there. The first step I took, it's like I never left.
Well, that's the thing. I went ice skating with him once. And I am like...
I went ice skating with him once.
I can say yes. So I was happy. Once. I was happy. I was like, I'm up. I'm not falling down. I can move. And that's great. And he's like doing circles around me. I was like, ah.
Do you have figure skating blades on?
I think
on?
She rented skates.
It's called rental. And yeah. Like...
Topic.
No, even in rollerblades, my knees kind of go... My knees and my ankles kind of go in.
First of all, I think these guys in retirement aren't... lacing up once every 10 years. I'm sure they have like a basketball half court in their backyard.
Full court.
Or full court. Right?
I gotta say, it's easier to have a basketball court than an ice hockey rink in your back court, your backyard.
So, but what I'm saying is, if you're gonna go up and slam, that's not something you do just shooting hoops in your backyard.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, yeah. Chris Webber. I'm sure Chris Webber dunks in his kid's face every single day.
Dude,
every opportunity. Hey, I do it to Timmy.
Okay, dude, I beat
Bryce in chess every time I play him.
I love seeing him cry.
No,
I will not let you win. I will not let you win.
As I wipe the tears from his face, I say, when you beat me, it's going to be that much better.
You are so mean to our son.
Bryce, I'll start with the king and a rook. Go. Yes, I just took everything you have. And you can't even checkmate me. I can't checkmate you. Okay. Here's the thing. This story, I don't think, is anything outside of what we've seen a million times,
no.
Right?
I mean,
okay, the guy's life sucks, right?
Yeah.
And Ted and I were discussing, I don't mean to interrupt you, was Tiffany Haddish's Dax's girlfriend, and then she left him for the Mookie Blaylock character?
No, I think we just figured out that that's not the case.
No, but before that, were they together, and then she left him because Mookie was better?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, let me just... Yeah. We already said it, but let me just summarize it in one word. Dodgeball, right?
Dodgeball is it.
You get the guy who sucks, can't get ahead, he recruits all the old dudes.
It's underdog. Underdog story.
The underdog story, yeah. They
exactly.
go get the guy.
Exactly.
They go after the dominant party. They get warmed up, because in this one, they definitely... If my father-in-law... is any sort of a testament to this story?
Volleyball.
Get his knee warmed up, he'll crush in volleyball.
Volleyball.
Get him out there cold, oh, you'll dominate him all day, right?
He'll be on the floor.
We could do a whole Top Gun. We could shoot them doing their thing. Top Gun, like seniors.
Oh my goodness. All right, Ted just gave us an idea. We might have something on our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel?
We have a YouTube channel.
Okay, we might have something out there. Hey, we can shoot 4K. But yeah, I mean, you know, anyway, they're vindicated. it is what it is. And
wait, spoiler, you saw the end of the movie already?
No, I did.
We know they're vindicated.
No, you don't.
He's got rec specs.
It's called the plot.
Yes. I saw the end of the movie. It's called Dodgeball.
It's called Rocky.
Dun, 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 dun.
You're right, Rocky.
What it is?
Underdog story.
It's an underdog story.
Definitely underdog story.
But he didn't sell his dog.
No.
No dogs involved.
No dogs are harmed in this movie.
Ted.
Yes.
If we're good. What's your three word?
All right,
I can't even say that.
We're gonna cap it. Hold on. Two beers in.
Hold on. Time out. Here at the Solvang Brewery, they do have an unwritten menu, much like In-N-Out.
And for you non-Californians,
Central Pokians, or Santa Maria, or you know, anywhere around.
And I guarantee you, anybody who's seen Swingers knows about In-N-Out.
Oh yes, that's because right.
Favreau's T-shirt was In-N-Out.
It's not you, it's me. It's what I'm going through.
But anyway.
You're two beers in.
I'm two beers in.
Silent, but deadly.
No,
that's not what it's called.
It's a double IPA.
The double IPA
is called, and I'm stalling because I need to remember.
It's one, two, three, or four.
I messed you up with Silent but deadly.
I know, he totally messed me up.
She wrote it down on that piece of paper.
No.
That was the password.
No, it's silent something.
Oh my god.
Just ask her.
It's Silas Do-Good. It's Benjamin.
Alright, never mind. Ted completely derailed what I was trying to do.
I think on that note we're pretty much done.
Well, okay, so three word review I'll filibuster with a three word review while you think about that. So the three word review for this is Big Head Cheat Code.
Wait, say that again?
Big Head Cheat Code.
Cheat code.
Big Head Cheat Code.
See, that's four words.
No, Big Head is one word.
Oh, Big Head. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Big Head is one word.
So when I played...
Cheat Code.
Cheat Code. Oh, from the it's more about the posters and the whole thing.
And the video game he puts in.
Yeah. When I used to play, I would always be Golden State with Chris Webber, and this is 1992, 93.
But Golden State wasn't good till like 2 years ago.
No, Golden State was good in 93. They had Chris Webber.
2 years ago?
Golden State? They won the NBA championship.
Yes. They were very good. They were very good. But in the early 90s, they were also very good. Chris Webber, and he was amazing, and there was a Big Head Cheat Code, and you just play the Big Head Cheat Code, and that's what all these bobbleheads look like.
Gotcha.
So these 19 posters were amazing. When I was doing the research for this, that's the thing that I really came up across. What's it called again?
Silent Treatment.
There it is.
Silent Treatment.
See, we fall about this.
Okay.
Because Sarandon walked up and she told us what the beer was.
All right, look, really quick. We have our waitress with us. So what's your name and what's your favorite beer?
My name is Sarandon. My favorite beer from here?
Yes, from here. Yeah, of course.
Probably our Amber Ale.
Amber Ale.
Yeah.
Brewed here.
Yeah, brewed here. I can bring you guys a taste of it if you guys want to try it.
I'm going to taste more champagne. I'm not going to taste
I do want to taste.
Okay.
And another silent treatment.
But I would.
What else is on the secret menu?
What's on the secret menu?
We have a mango habanero IPA.
And I've had it before. It's a little spicy.
And nothing too fun. We're working on kind of bringing all of our core beers because we're out of our Pilsner right now and our raspberry.
Ah, yeah.
So they're working on just bringing.
What's your highest IB, whatever it's called?
IBU.
Both of the and our alcohol would be both for the silent treatment. It's the hoppiest and the highest. No.
I noticed.
Yeah.
Let me taste the jalapeno with the amber.
Okay.
And then I'll either get a silent treatment or the jalapeno.
I'll try the amber.
Okay.
I'm trying champagne.
And the silent. Yeah. I got you guys.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Do we have anything else? Filmically to discuss?
Filmically. Trailerically.
Trailer.
What?
Trailer-delically.
Or something like that.
Trailer-delic. Oh my god, it's trailer-delic.
So I think
it's a new verb. No, is that a noun?
That's an adverb.
So you know that we've had this discussion.
Having to do with trailers.
That I've said either I watch MCU or Ted's like schnoozing. So I want to say
MCU,
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to say that I'm highly impressed that you were impressed by Mary Shelley.
Why?
Because it's so not your speed.
Because Ted is such a superhero nerd.
With his Star Wars t-shirt.
I'm eclectic. I like different things. Don't put me in a corner.
I'm just saying, when I tried to sell you on Sense and Sensibility, I went the Ang
Lee route. This is not Sense and Sensibility.
I went the Ang Lee route, and you were like, oh, Ang Lee, I'll watch it with you.
Well, come on. Ang Lee also did the worst Hulk ever.
But what I was saying is
Mary Shelley is so in depth. There's a lot to it. And the thing is, there's like varying levels. It's not just the person. It's like the story behind it, and also the story she makes. It's like
yes. But what I'm saying is, when Ted has a choice, or like when the question was posed, why do you watch these movies? Either I can watch what Ted wants to watch, so we can have QT, or we can watch what I want to watch, which really means I'm watching by myself. I'm just surprised that you enjoyed the trailer, because I would have thought that you would have said, not my bag.
Well, let's say that the movie, will you see it? Yes, I'll probably see it.
Because I'll make you see it.
Because now it looks like we're going to see it together. No,
all four of us.
I would certainly see this.
But I might fall asleep if they spend too long in the parlor trying to tell them to talk about the story.
Oh, Ted. So remember when a few weeks back you said you were watching, I don't remember the TV series, but you're like, you kept falling
Lost
asleep.
Lost in Space. Yes.
30 minutes in, I was out.
Well, there were a couple other factors involved.
Oh, yeah. And Bryce wants to watch it so badly. Oh,
he wants to be Will Robinson badly.
Bryce goes, can I see it?
Awesome, thank you.
And Ted goes, I really haven't seen it.
Thank you.
And so he's like,
which is better to
see? Mommy has to watch it because I can't tell you what's going on in it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sarandon just brought a whole new round of beer, so we're all interrupted.
And samples.
I like the samples.
But yeah, 30 minutes in, I was snoozing.
Beer, the ice cream for adults. Samples are free.
I watched the entire thing.
No, and I do want to get back to it because it was really good. Like when the chick froze solid and when she was trying to come out of the water.
Oh, God.
What are we talking about?
Lost in Space.
Oh, yes.
That's the first episode.
I have two beers in front of me. I'm trying to make a decision. Sorry.
And I don't even know why she was frozen solid.
Because she was trying to get to the ship. The Jupiter.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He was falling
What's
asleep.
What's the episode that
I was
you made
already
me watch?
Half asleep.
Exactly. No, we gotta reach the whole thing.
Ted made me watch the episode where Will knows that the robot has killed all these people. And then, like,
and he goes to hide the robot.
He goes to hide the robot, and his sister comes and she's like, we'll have to talk to you. And he goes, I already know. And she's like, wait, if you already know, let's move away. And I was like, oh, I'm not interested. And he goes, wait, you put your book down. You stopped doing what you were doing to look up from what you were doing to focus. I was like, yeah, because I heard it in the background and I was interested in that moment. But then you lost me because then they introduce some other characters and then they run away.
There are a lot of characters.
But,
you know,
You want a lot of characters?
No, I don't want a lot of characters.
Game of Thrones,
I know. That checked me out episode one. I was like, there's like 10 people.
I've watched every episode 3 times.
And you still don't
And
know
I
the
read
names.
The first book. I still am clueless.
Wait, isn't the last season coming?
It is. Yes. Actually, I'm not clueless. I still get confused. Yes.
Coming.
I really want the next book to be written. Because I've read all the books. I think most of
Martin,
it is one summer.
Martin, we know you're listening. Write the last book, for crying out loud.
I heard he has a process. He has a process. Can't interrupt the process.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but it's been how many years since you wrote the last book?
Okay, so we've digressed 1,000 ways from Sunday.
Wait. One last thing.
Okay, go ahead.
On Lost in Space.
Go ahead.
If you guys continue to watch.
I will.
I will
stay awake. Clarissa will continue to watch.
As you fall asleep, there are some episodes where some people get knocked out
in the middle
of the episode.
Bye,
friends. So, So when they get knocked out, there's a little bit of a scene where they're coming back into
knocked
consciousness.
Out, meaning like...
Hit over the head.
Okay, okay, yeah.
And then they come back to consciousness. To wake up during a scene where somebody is coming back into consciousness is a bit surreal.
Yeah.
So just have your wife close to you to assure you that you're not, you know, losing your mind. Because I woke up when, you know, Mrs. Robinson, what's her name?
Yeah.
She was the woman, I don't have it up in front of me, but she was, wasn't she the congresswoman in?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. House of Cards.
House of Cards.
Yes. She's House of Cards.
Yes.
That was what that was the first thing I said. Oh my God, House of Cards!
Exactly. We had to stop it and look it up.
That show is certainly over. Thank you, Kevin Spacey.
Exactly. We haven't. Isn't there? Wasn't there another like? Season?
No, there's like 5 episodes left, and when that whole scandal came out, I was a little turned off. We didn't finish it.
Yeah.
But you didn't cancel your Netflix account, so that's good.
Well,
you know, because I
can't believe
Netflix
got out of it.
Netflix
really
isn't like everything.
But Netflix is like Amazon, right?
But it's not Netflix's.
I've read a report that Walmart's gonna surpass Amazon.
What?
Yeah. No.
Yes. Sidebar. Sidebar. Non sequitur.
That's way
not
sidebar.
Good.
Okay.
Oh,
well.
God.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Anyway, I think we're done.
Yeah.
I need
to upload.
We'll see you next week, fans.
So. I would say throw us some comments, whatever,
please.
About where.
Well, we didn't talk about the people we met yesterday who gave their commentary on what they think podcasts should be.
Well, that's a little different than what our podcast is. So.
It's totally
no,
different.
But what I'm saying is, though, so leave us some comments about if you like this episode and if you think we should do more like these, and maybe
just
give
what
us
do you think?
Ideas of where to go next.
And if you're ever in Lompoc or Solvang, stop by the Solvang Brewery.
They definitely. Are fabulous.
And remember, we share these reviews with our children, so be polite. Keep it clean.
Indeed. All right, everybody. So, hey, I had a great time. Hey, a final cheers.
Cheers. I have nothing to cheers
with,
and it's bad luck.
No, you can't do. You
can't.
I
can't do water.
It's alcohol.
Luck.
I agree.
I got nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Oh! I'm Jesus Christ. That was a drop. All right, later, folks.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.